It certainly will be a great time. Appreciate the piano playing and the organ playing. I mean, both of those really, I enjoy good gospel singing, and the choir does a great job here, but I just want to tell the pianist and the organ player, they do a great job, and it adds a lot to that. Appreciate Miss Norma doing that for us this morning. It's a beautiful day. Sure. We miss you when you're not here either. We really do. Right.
That's the way I worship.
Amen. Amen.
That's part of my worship.
Amen. Amen. And I've heard before folks that have done musical solos, and it is very beautiful whenever they've done that, even without singing sometimes. And that is a form of worship. It really is. And so we're very appreciative of folks that have that gift. Well, yesterday it was cloudy and rainy most of the day. And today for Sunday, God gives us this beautiful day. And so we're very thankful that He has and given us this opportunity to come here and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're going to get right into the message. I apologize. There's going to be about 16 verses, so you may want to turn there in Ephesians chapter 4. But there just wasn't anywhere for me to cut off as I kept reading over this passage of Scripture right here. So Ephesians chapter 4. And I know some have mentioned, well, we have the Bible on our phones. That doesn't bother me whatsoever. There was a preacher that came and helped me at Oak Grove one time, and he said, I noticed a lot of your congregation, they've got phones out, and they got, he didn't know what they were, but they were iPads, and he says, well, what are they doing with all that? And I said, well, they're following you. If you make any mistakes, they're going to know it. They're following along in the Bible. He didn't know. He thought they were maybe playing games or something. I don't know. But I said, oh, no, they take notes on that, and they follow along with you. So, again, whether you have your printed portion of Bible or you have it on your phone, that's certainly fine. And the main thing is that you just follow along. Now, again, don't go to Facebook. Don't do that. But anyway, just you can follow along with me, and I appreciate that. And I will probably make mistakes as I read. But anyway, Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to begin with verse 1. Here, Paul writing to the church of Ephesus. In verse 1, he says, I therefore, which means certainly, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness, meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it, but they he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, and he might fill all things. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. the mistakes I've made, that's the first 16 verses of the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Now, our subject for a little while, our thought this morning is simply this: to walk together in Christian love. To walk together in Christian love. Now, Jennifer and I attended Friday night, the Youth Weekend Fellowship up at Oak Grove. And as I was walking in, right before we got into the building, or the front porch there, it's on Oak Grove now, Brother Tim Binion and I started talking, and he asked me, he said, well, how is it, you know, over at Crossroads? I've heard you've taken Crossroads. And I said, everybody has been so nice to us. I mean, they really have, to Jennifer and I, just very loving people. And, of course, Brother Tim said, well, how long you been there? And I said, well, I guess 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you know, maybe something like that. Of course, how Tim Binion says, any of you know him, he's, well, you hadn't been there long enough. Get back with me in a year. But that's just Brother Tim Binion. But really, unless y'all have got me fooled, I mean, the first few weeks, of course, I've preached for, you know, a couple of months, you know, on and off different times. But it does seem like the church has a good love and a good fellowship, and that's important. That's good. And especially when you're going to be coming together as many times as you are, probably in the next couple of months, with various things, and really throughout the year. Now, walking together in Christian love is very important. And you really see there the one word that stands out is O-N-E, one, right here. And God desires for us to be one. And now, again, I know different ones of us, we have, you know, we're different ages. Some are younger, some are older, some are in school, some are in work, some are retired, you know, have different hobbies and all that. But still, we've been saved by the grace of God. We have a common salvation that Jude talked about. And so, and as we begin to look at this right here in verse 3, now he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Now, endeavoring, that's not a word that I use on an everyday basis, so I get out my Webster's 1828 dictionary. And yes, I'm like Brother Danny, I've got one of these phones that I could look it up, I guess, but I'm still stubborn and I'm still old school. Jen bought this for me several years ago, and it's a big old thick green book. And I've got that on the desk and the table there, and I'll open it up my turn there. But the word endeavoring means to make an effort or to attempt. So to make an effort or to attempt to keep the unity of the Spirit. So we have to put there's some effort into that. I mean, there's some work into that. And so because there's going to be times that maybe things, you know, you think, well, maybe we should do this or maybe we should do that. But again, the overall theme, us as brothers and sisters in Christ, is to walk together in Christian love. And we should try. And actually, I believe that's in the second or third paragraph of the church covenant as well. It talks about walking together in Christian love. And so we should desire that. And that's what he's talking about right here as we begin to look at this right here. And of course, the definition of unity, again, looking at Webster's 1828 dictionary, that just means agreement, or each one of us siding one with another. And so, and it's very important that the church do that, because we live in a world where there is so much turmoil and there's so much chaos and there's so much disagreement. If you have a conversation with somebody out in the world for only 5 minutes, there's probably going to be some differences that you have. But us, is whenever we come into the Lord's house and we come into church, and God, he desires for us to endeavor or to make an attempt or to put effort into it as far as unity and having this spirit right here of unity. And that is so important. And again, I got to fellowship Friday night with several of my preacher brethren that I don't get to see very often, and from different states and everything at that event. And it's always very good. And so it's very good that whenever it exists also among God's people and saints, whether you don't see them very often or whether you see them every Sunday. As a matter of fact, I would say it's more important if you come in contact with them every Sunday and maybe Wednesday night as well. You see them a couple couple times a week. It's important that brothers and sisters, that we have this Christian love that it talks about right here. Now, in verse 15, he talks about speaking the truth in love, and it may grow up into all things, which is the head, even Christ. See, that tells us right there. And the Sunday school lesson kind of went along with this too, talking about pointing to the servant or pointing to Jesus. That was a type of Christ. And see, the head of the church is Christ. It's Jesus. It's not me. It's not anybody else here. But the head of the church is Jesus. And whenever we can let the world know that, and they see that by the words that we say and the actions that we take, they're going to know that in Camden, Tennessee. Because there's lots of organizations, and I won't even call them churches. They're really religious organizations. And there's not a lot of good camaraderie right now because of different issues that are going on. And I'm not going to call any of them by name, but we've even had that in our county where there's been lots of people that go to a religious organization, but they've been headbutting each other over some things. And that's not good. That's not good for non-believers. That's not good for believers, but it's not good for non-believers to see disagreements and to see bitterness and to see things that really shouldn't be, because what does that make them think then about church? Well, why is that somewhere I want to go then? But see, church is somewhere you should want to go if you're lost and you don't know the Lord. And that's the place, you know, maybe where Jesus convicts you and leads you to salvation. And it's certainly a place that we can come together. And when we have all of these good characteristics that it talks about right here, whenever we have these things, we can come in and we can worship an almighty God. And people can recognize that we have love for one another. That's just like you have this prayer list. And you have all of these names that's on this prayer list. And, I mean, it's all folks that there is a need right there. And so that's one of the things where we show that love, is we show that by praying for them and uplifting them to an almighty God. You and I can't heal them, but we know one that can, and that's Jesus. And so, but a lot of places, the preacher Friday night, and this was an interesting thing he brought out. I know it was a youth weekend, and I guess that kind of hit me a little bit as I'd been reading some different places in the scripture. But he talked about there at the youth weekend, and again, there was different churches represented. And he was talking about how there shouldn't be jealousy in the churches. And if one church is doing well, that church is maybe that's not doing well should be edifying them or encouraging them in that. And that certainly is should. It's not that one is against the other, but all Bible-believing, God-fearing churches, missionary Baptist churches, we're in this thing together. And we should be encouraging one another and praying for one another. And whenever there are revivals and youth fellowships and things like that, we should be that encouragement. And so he mentioned a little bit about that, and that's not really everything I want to get into today. Now, I do want us to see here in this fourth chapter of Ephesians, and there's really three, I guess, characteristics, or you might even say attitudes, that every church member must possess to carry out unity. There are three attitudes right here that every church member must possess for there to be unity. Now, the first one right here in verse 2, this is where I'm going. It says, with all lowliness. Now, what is lowliness? That's just humility. That's what that's talking about right there. That's being free from pride. And so having humility, being free from pride, and you humble yourself and you put somebody's needs above you. And certainly we have the greatest role model, don't we, to look to in that. And that was Jesus. Jesus put what? Our needs, our condition of our soul, whenever he went to the cross and he died for every one of us. And he died for everyone in this world that has existed before, is existing today, and will be born and exist after. So lowliness, that is a good attitude to have as far as a humility, possessing that, walking together in Christian love. Now, what's the second one? It says meekness. Meekness. Now, again, that's not something that we think a lot about, but it just means mild. It means gentle. I guess submission to your will, submission to divine will is what it should be. And so possessing meekness. Now, why is meekness important? You'd say, well, meekness is not something. Why would that be important? Well, if you go back to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5, what did Jesus say? That the meek will inherit the earth. So if Jesus made that statement right there, that the meek will inherit the earth. Now, I'm thinking that was talking about spiritual things, obviously, number one. But you think about that. If we're going to walk together in Christian love, and we're going to have lowliness, or we're going to have humility, and then we're going to have meekness, and that talks about the meek inheriting the earth. See, those that are just the opposite of meek, instead of those that are being mild, and those that are maybe submissive, and again, being submissive, not just in our will, but being submissive and under the direction of the divine will of God. See, God's ways are greater than our ways. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. We can have an idea about something, but then if we really pray about it, and we say, okay, boy, God, your way sure is better. Sometimes here's what happens to us, though. Here's what happens. We're going to say, well, we're going to try it our way. And we try it our way for a little while, for a few weeks or a few months. And it's like, boy, this is just hard. This is just difficult. But then all of a sudden, you know, we've prayed about it and God shows us his way and his will. And then we start doing it. And it's like, boy, that's just so easy. Why didn't we do that in the first place? Because, well, we're not meek. We're stubborn. I guess that's the opposite of meek. It'd be stubborn. I'm surprised. My wife would tell you he's pretty stubborn sometimes. But anyway, I need to work on that characteristic of being meek. I need to do that. But anyway, it says lowliness, meekness, and then the third one right here, it says long-suffering. Now, that just means patience. That's the attitude. If you want to walk together in Christian love, to have lowliness, meekness, and long-suffering. It's amazing whenever you can go to your Strong's Concordance and you can look it up, whether by phone or if you've got the book, and you can look that up. The word long-suffering and patience, I didn't look exactly how many times, but it's several times in the Bible how many times that God mentions that for his people. I guess if it's in the Bible, long-suffering and patience, that's something we need to pay attention to, isn't it? If we'll have that, if we'll have that long-suffering, patience, the meekness and the lowliness, see, we can maintain unity, and unity is so important. Psalms 133 and 1, it talked about how blessed it is in God's people whenever they dwell together in unity. And unity is so important. A lot of things can be done when people are unified. A lot of things can happen. Now, verse 3 said again, endeavoring, which means to make an effort or to put in work there to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And those three attitudes are so important. Let me turn over the Old Testament real quick. There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Walking together in Christian love. It says right here in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Two are better than one. What happens if there's just, if you're by yourself? Well, look at verse 10 right here. It says, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that's alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. That's what walking together in Christian love is all about, is being there and helping share burdens with people. You know, it's not just you're out there on the island by yourself. You got to remember that. Walking together in Christian love, being there for your fellow believers today, your fellow men and women, boys and girls that are saved by the grace of God, being there for them. You know, I've heard people, they've actually told me this, and this is in the latter years versus the early part of my ministry. I guess our society maybe is getting a little more bold, and I don't know if that's really the best word to use, but they'll just tell you sometimes what they're thinking, and maybe some people don't need to do that. But I've heard people have told me, well, I don't need to be a member of a local church. I don't need to be a member of the church. And they've said, I've just seen where churches, wherever they've been, they said, I just see they're just hypocrites in there. They don't get along. Now, that's a bad outlook for people to really have those thoughts. But what's terrible is that it is very important for people to be a member of a local Bible-believing church. That is very important. And this scripture right here where it says two are better than one. See, it's important that people see the unity, that they see the love, and that love, again, a lot of these people are lost people that have that idea. But certainly somebody that's saved by the grace of God to think, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and I don't need to be a member of a local church. That's not a good attitude to have. Because number one, God commands it. That's why you should be a member of the church, is because God commanded it. But still, as you think about this, well, you know, if that's the attitude, why would people come on Sunday mornings? Why would they come on Wednesday nights? Certainly, why would they come morning and night for a whole week in revival services if they think, well, I can just be out here by myself and I can worship God and I'll be okay? That's not accurate. And you need, it's very important that people maintain a close relationship with the Lord. If somebody has that attitude, well, I can just sit home and watch TV and watch a TV preacher and I don't need to be in church with other believers, that is such an inaccurate statement and an inaccurate thinking. Because we need each other. We've got to understand it. We need each other. We need our brothers and sisters to exhort us, to encourage us, to keep this unity. It's a terrible mistake when somebody has that type of attitude. And I've run into that before. And think about it. In Matthew chapter 16, if it was really okay for us to just be by ourselves and not to have this worship of all believers and the church, listen to what Matthew 16 says. Verse 15, he said to them, but whom do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Oh, that's just like when you get saved, isn't it? It's not something that man reveals to you that you've been convicted and you're lost and you need to be saved. But God reveals that to you. And then he says in verse 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why on earth, if we were to worship? Now again, you can worship individually. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying today. I have been in a vehicle listening to gospel music, and I've worshiped. I mean, I've sang along, and that's the best place for me to sing because I'm by myself. Nobody else can hear me. And so I can just shout it out. You know, if I come up to a red light and somebody's beside of me and they look over, they say, well, that guy's crazy right there, because I look like sometimes I may be just shouting to the top of my lungs, and I may be. But at least they don't have to hear me. The windows are up. But still, I've done it. So you can have individual worship. And there's times I've been at home and I've been reading God's Word and I've got some yellow stains in some of my Bible pages. You know why? Because I've been reading and just God just fills me up and the tears just start flowing. So yes, you can have worship by yourself. I'm not saying you can't, you and God. But God designed it. That's why he established his church. It's because there would be all of us would come together. The Bible says where two or three are gathered today together in my name, I'll be in the midst of thee. So whether it's very few or whether it's many, God can be in the presence of his believers, and he desires that. He desires that. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. It says here in verse 19, Hebrews chapter 10. Says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that is promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much as the day as you see, so much much the more as you see the day approaching. Walking together in Christian love. As we look out in our society today and we see so much sin, and we see so much wrong, and we see maybe even people that blaspheme the name of God. And unfortunately, there is some of that that goes on. And there's all kind of heresies that's happening. What an encouragement that it is that we not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We, you know, Jennifer and I were driving this morning, and I saw these people, and it was, again, nothing right or wrong with riding a motorcycle. If you want to do that, that's a good hobby. But there was a line of people, and they were going. I'm like, well, I told her, I said, I guess they're not going to church today. And again, I may have been totally off kilter right there. I may have been totally wrong. But just based on their appearance and what they were doing, I didn't think they were going. I just don't, being honest with you. What an opportunity that they're missing. What an opportunity that folks miss by not heeding to God's commandment right here to assemble yourselves on the first day of the week to come out. Because why? It says it in the verse right before that. Let us consider one another to provoke unto us love. Because why? When you come out together and you get to worship God, what do you feel in the house of God? You feel that love. You feel that love. You need that. We as human beings, that's why COVID was bad on a lot of levels. But you know, one of the reasons that COVID was so bad is because it isolated us. It got us where we were just by ourselves and we didn't get to come in contact with one another and tell each other and show each other, more importantly, how much that we love you, that we love one another. See, we need that. We're a creature. God designed us where we would show that love for one another. And that's what he says right here. Consider one another to provoke unto love. And then also it says, and then also to provoke to do good works. See, if you're by yourself and you're just sitting there and you're like, well, I really don't know if I need to do this or not. Well, but if somebody, you come to church a lot of times, and you hear somebody testify, or you hear something that's going on, and you're like, boy, you know, I'd like to really be a part of that. See, it kind of provokes you. It gives you that unction there, the Spirit does, that you want to be a part of it. And certainly we should, as saved individuals, we should desire to be a part and to be a member of the Lord's church. What a great benefit that it is that we get to walk together in Christian love. So no, Jesus did not make a mistake when he established his church here on this earth. He did not make a mistake. There was a reason that he established his church. And certainly when God inspired Solomon to write in Ecclesiastes 4 and 9, where two are better than one, that is the uttermost truth. It is when brothers and sisters can get together and they can be in harmony. And then as it says right here, having a high priest over the house of God. Again, it's not ourselves, but God is the one that's in charge. He is the head. Verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Again, Jude, it talks about a common salvation. And we have that as brothers and sisters when we come together. And we come and we desire whenever we come out to God's house and whenever we pray or whenever we sing or we hear from God's word, you know, we assemble ourselves together to do what? We assemble ourselves to worship. That's what we're doing. And so that's why it's so important when it's talking about drawing with a true heart and having the sincerity of our heart and having our hearts sprinkled from a pure conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. See, that's why it's so important that before you get here on Sunday morning, whether that's Saturday night it is for me, and whether it's Sunday morning as I wake up of a morning, you know, several hours before I get here, I guess now. But I get up and I start to pray and I ask God for forgiveness. And I'm like, God, it's not a physical washing, but I need that spiritual washing that I'm clean, that I'm as close as I can be to God, that I can come and deliver a message from on high, because it's not from me, it's from on high, that God can take this message and use it in our lives throughout the week. And that we can show that when we come in close contact with a brother or sister, maybe it's on your court square, maybe it's at the courthouse, you got to renew your tags, you know, for your vehicle once a year. I ain't the one to come up with that. That's government. Anyway, that's another subject. But if you come up in contact with them at the county clerk's office, renewing your tags or paying your property taxes, that's once a year too. That's a bad subject. You're not going there either. But anyway, if you come in contact with folks, wherever it's at, that you show them that Christian love. You show them that and it can be as something as simple as smiling and just saying hi. Too many times, what are we doing as God's people? Got our heads down. Well, I got to go up here. I don't really want to do this, but I got to. You never know who you might come in contact with. That you could, and just by just saying hi to them, just being nice to them, you never know what kind of conversations it can open up and what impact that you can have in their lives. I've said this many a times. The youth that are in middle school or high school or in college, you're going to be able to make an impact much greater on your generation than I can. You know why? Because they'll listen to you. Your friends will listen to you. They probably wouldn't listen to me. Like, I ain't an old guy. He ain't going to tell me to go to church. But if you invite them to church, to revival in July when it comes, they may come. Now, you may have to remind them more than once. But they're not going to listen to me, but they'll listen to you. And so that is walking together in Christian love. That's Christian love. You've been saved and you want to see them saved. You want to see them experience the joy. You want to see them get saved and experience the joy and be able to worship and praise and song just like you do today. You want that for them. So God gives us these good things. Why does He give us worship? It's to lift up our spirit. There's been many a times that I've come to church and I've not felt well, maybe even had a fever. Now, I ain't got a fever this morning. But there are times I've went and preached and I've had a fever. And I've tried to be conscious and not be around people when I've done that. But because it's just hard. You can't, on Sunday morning, you wake up with a fever. It's hard to get a hold of somebody else to know. So you go. I'd come in the back door a lot of time. I remember from Oak Grove, even at Westport, of course, there wasn't as many people. And I just kind of, well, I got to stay away from me today. I'm not feeling well. So if you ever hear that, that's what's wrong. I probably got a little bit of a fever or whatever. I'm just trying to protect everybody. But anyway, but when I left, you know what? Even though physically I did not feel good, my soul was strengthened. It was lifted up. Because I got to come together with my brothers and sisters and hear songs, hear a good Sunday school lesson. I mean, just worship. See, God knows what we need, even when physically, maybe we don't feel like doing something, but we walk together in Christian love. When we do it out of love, and then God helps us then for us to be able to feel that strength down in our soul. And we also come to, obviously, to learn the Word of God. God gives us this sound doctrine to learn. Now, you're not going to find that at some of the false churches or the false religious organizations in this community. You're not going to find the truth. You will not. That's why it's so important that we witness and we talk to our friends and invite them to church. I think it's 2 Timothy 4 and 13. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That they'll follow after their own lust, and they'll follow after itching ears. And I know I messed that up, but I'm paraphrasing that. We're in those days. We are in those days where people will not endure the sound doctrine. They want to just, whatever their own desires are, that's really what they want to go after. So that's why we have to assemble ourselves together so we can learn and soak in just like a sponge as much as we can. And we know this word of God. And then God also, as much as he's got us together and we get all these benefits of corporate worship and getting to praise God, it provides a hedge of protection around us. If you can soak in more God and you can soak in more Bible just like a sponge, whenever you do go out to the courthouse or wherever, you are protected. You don't realize it, but your mind is protected. Whenever you hear somebody have a conversation and it's words that you don't really like to be around, they're using some four-letter words or something worse, immediately your hedge of protection goes up and says, boy, they shouldn't be saying that. They shouldn't be doing that. They shouldn't be having those thoughts and those things. Because why? You've went to church. You've heard the word. You've been in praise. You've been in work. Your spirit is strengthened. Now, most of the time we don't. I have had a few times in my life that I've heard people saying things, and I ask them. I said, "Please, you know, I know you're probably doing that." And I was nice about it. I said, "I know you're probably saying those things out of habit. But if you would around me, if you wouldn't speak those words or say those words." There was a man that attended his funeral not long ago. He was a pretty rough character in Lexington. But he owned a business, and I was his banker for 20-something years. And he didn't go to church as far as I know. And they actually asked a relative to do the funeral service there. It's just a cemetery. Just had a service at a cemetery. And I talked to him a few times here in the last few years because I knew he had cancer. And I asked him about his soul. And he told me here the last time within the last couple of years, last year and a half probably, he said, "Listen, you don't worry about me." He said, "Lord got a hold of me one night at the house. And he said, I got up under that table and I prayed. And he said, I'm okay." Now, he didn't tell me all that I would really have liked to have heard, but at least he gave me some, you know, thing, comfort, I guess you'd say. But when I first met him and the loan officer that had him, and I was a young loan officer in my 20s, and they said, "We're giving you this guy," one of the first people they gave me, and I'm like, "Why?" "Oh, his mouth is terrible. He's so arrogant and he's so prideful, and you're the low man on the totem pole, so we're giving him to you." And boy, sure enough, whenever I came in there and we was talking about a loan for a truck or something, boy, he just let out and, you know, said all kind of things. And I was young. I mean, he was much older than I was. But after about 6 months, after we'd kind of built up a relationship, it wasn't hardly a year, it's 6 months to a year, somewhere in there, I asked him. I said, "Mr. Richard," I said, "I'm a preacher. And would you mind not saying some of these words that you do around me?" And he said, "I didn't know that." He said, "No, I won't do that." And you know, from that time till me and him had our last conversation a few months ago or whatever it was, he did not cuss around me. And when he did, when he said something, he immediately said, "I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that around you." You can have an effect in people's lives. Now, I wasn't mean-spirited about it when I asked him to do that. I said, "Would you please?" That's walking together in Christian love. That's how we're to be this example to a world that's lost. Let me turn to Matthew real quick. Matthew chapter 22, I think. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22 in this, verse 37. This is in red letters, Jesus saying here, verse 37, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Number one, we're to love God. Number two, it says love thy neighbor. Who's your neighbor? That's the people around you. That's the people you come in contact with. Now, I know sometimes it's hard to love people. Believe me, I've been around a few people like Mr. Richard at times. It's like, man, me and this guy ain't going to jee-haw. We're just not going to get along. And then I hate it, and I hate it, and I hate it. This is something that a few months ago, whenever he passed away, that some of his family was trying to get a hold of me, and I was in meetings that day and couldn't get away. But, you know, some of his family was trying to get in touch with me, and it wasn't till later on in the afternoon, but they were actually wanting me to do his funeral. And I would have done it. I went to the funeral service. But then they'd already asked this relative to do that. So that's how a relationship can be. It can be like when you first meet, boy, there's no way. So this man was actually wanting me, or somebody was wanting me and his family, I don't know if it was him, to do his funeral. But you've got to show love. That's what it's talking about right here. And being a member of the Lord's church, that's a great support system, I'm telling you. I don't know how throughout the years, my time, that I could not have gotten along without a good support system being a church family. It's impossible. I feel sorry for people out there in this world that don't have that. And that's why it's so important that you continue to build that here at Crossroads. And you let Camden and you let Benton County and everybody you come in contact with, we're here for you. We're here to help you in any way that we can. And number one, and then they may walk into revival one morning or one night, whenever you have it, and those people come. And what if God then begins to prick their heart and convict their soul, and then they come up here and they fall down, and after a few minutes they raise up and they say, "I got saved." Boy, that'd be worth it all, wouldn't it? It would. Even though maybe you had to endure conversations that were harsh, maybe they even cussed you, as we called it. But then you continue to show that Christian love, as it tells us right here in the Bible. Maybe you give them some advice. Maybe you be that support system for them. You know, also being a Christian, also me, and being part of a church family. Listen, I'm going to fail you. I fail my wife. You know what she has to do? She's got to forgive me. She does. That's what we have to do with each other. And that's what showing true love is when you can forgive somebody that's said something they shouldn't have to you. That's part of walking together in Christian love. It's showing that forgiveness. And boy, when you can show the public that you've forgiven somebody, it might as well be like on a jumbotron at a football stadium or something. People can see that, and they recognize that. So as we try to close today, I guess the question that I pose to you, as we get into this very important time that we have, if God allows us here in June and July, are you committed to walking together in Christian love? Are you committed? It takes some effort. It takes some want to. I remember my coach, whenever we were playing, and he said a few choice words to me whenever I was playing ball. I remember that. And he'd put his hands on my jersey, and he was a bigger man than I was, and he'd just tug at that jersey. He picked some people off the floor. I weighed enough that he couldn't just pick me up off the floor, but he did pick some people off the floor. He said, "You got to get your want to. You've got to get your want to." That's what we've got to get if we really want to walk together in Christian love, because it's easy to be offended in today's world. It really is. You can be offended at anything just about, and a lot of people are. That's why people are in the shape they're in, a lot of our communities and our countries in, because people get so easily offended. But if you want to walk together in Christian love, endeavor to walk together in Christian love, that's what the verse said. You got to want to. It's like their coach used to tell me. You got to want to. One place, and I'll close, Colossians chapter 3. It's a song leader and piano player can come this way if they want to. Colossians 3, 12 and 14 says this, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." There it is again. I told you long-suffering, patience is all throughout the Bible. "Forgiving one another and forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, if even to Christ has forgave you, so also do ye. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." All these attitudes, whether it's lowliness, whether it's meekness, whether it's humbleness, whether it's long-suffering, whether it's patience, all these things, what did it say the greatest of these are? Charity, which means love. That's the greatest virtue that there is love. Having love for one another. Having love for your fellow man and your fellow sisters. Having that love. So walking together in Christian love. That's our message today. And if you're here and you're lost, I want to give you this.